Good morning. Today is Monday, May the 7th. A bright and shiny day. Who better to join us this morning than
the bearer of good news?
In his shorts, Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. See, we can say all kinds of things like that, and nobody knows the difference until you step out of the studio.
I'm actually not wearing shorts.
That's even more frightening. you're saying long pants. Thank you for that clarification. It has been a busy couple weeks for you guys, hasn't it?
It has.
Weird stuff?
You know, we're a vibrant, active city, and it's not unusual for interesting things to happen. We did have a homicide last night, which was fortunately not something that's a regular occurrence and was a pretty sad situation.
When those types of things happen, I would imagine with the current dissemination channels, it becomes really difficult for you guys to be able to do the research without having everybody feeling like they're a journalist and having the rights and accessibility and all those types of things, kind of like you're running in molasses. Is that true when it happens in residential settings rather than, let's say, in the courtroom or something that's a more formal situation or surroundings?
Well, it's definitely one of those situations where it sure seems like a lot of people think they're experts, and they listen to the news or read the online blogs and are quick to rush to decisions about what we should have done or what we did wrong in their opinion, and the key on small little segments of facts, and then draw a lot of inferences into that quite incorrectly. I just read one last night where somebody saw a volunteer patrol car in one of the photographs by the local news and started ranting about that my tax dollars are for professionals. What the heck is, you know, volunteers doing investigating this crime, not understanding that we have a robust, highly trained volunteer patrol group, and their role is to free up the officers to conduct the investigation by helping us block off the alley.
Crowd control.
Deny, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Crime scene security. And we appreciate very much, because otherwise that would have been two sworn officers for 18 hours, by the way. These two people, Gary and Terry, gave up 18 hours of their time on the perimeter so that officers could be involved in the chase of the suspect.
Who says they don't have a life?
I'm sure they're starting to question their volunteer status after 18 hours in the cold.
Yeah. Well, it did break yesterday afternoon. We got a little warm.
Yeah, we had some sun.
Yeah, okay. It, you know, when you're in the jury setting in the courtroom, they say, don't determine until you get all the facts presented. Wouldn't that be nice if that was the standard?
You know, this is going to sound a little harsh, but it's somewhat true. I think a couple of these online blogs, which actually I follow and I enjoy the news itself, but you read the commenters, I think some of them, the biggest decision they have to make for the day is, which color crack pipe should I use today?
Good. You know what? You'll be there today too now. It's got to be disconcerting, because it's tough enough to get the information that you need in the normal setting, to chase down the bad guys, to see where they're hiding, to do all that kind of stuff, let alone having these additional layers of either people trying to assist in getting in the way to help you out, you know, I mean, the Good Samaritan kind of a thing, or those that want to impede your abilities and get in the way for another reason.
Yeah, a substantial amount of misinformation gets thrown around on the internet through comments on many of these news articles. And, you know, it's both a blessing and a curse, but news is instantaneous today. The news cycle of 24
but not
hours
accurate.
Is long gone.
Not accurate.
Sometimes not accurate, yeah. Because everyone wants to be the first to get the information out there. And when you're in that kind of hurry, it's, you know, when you have a fluid investigation, not all the facts are in. The investigation isn't complete. Information's coming in constantly. Sometimes it changes. And so you've got to adapt, and people just need to understand it's a fine line between trying to be as transparent as possible and maybe get information out quickly, but at the same time making sure that information is accurate.
Yeah, for me, it's never been first. It's been accurate. Be the first one.
News if it's inaccurate.
Be the first one that's correct. Well, news by definition is new, right? Okay. And to have updates all the time. No, you're just not. I'm not a big fan of that stuff, as you might imagine. It's just too many things go sideways, and everybody weighs in. And I suppose the thing that would be difficult for me, and why you don't want me as your PIO, is I would start to rail against that the innuendos that are presented, or people coming from one perspective or another and going off as if it is fact, instead of waiting until the facts are collected. I mean, investigating is a process. You don't make your determination and then investigate to determine and to substantiate your position. In theory, it's an open mind here. Let's see where these facts take us.
You know, a guy could devote an entire career and every waking hour just to following up and responding to some of these comments. And I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. From time to time, I might read one where I feel like I need to make a comment. But, I also remember that, the people that are sitting on there making some of these comments on the online blogs, maybe it's a half dozen people. I mean, it doesn't represent the entire community.
Do you believe it's best to respond in that forum or to have a formal press release?
That's an interesting question, because sometimes you feed the monster, so to speak, by directly responding. But then sometimes people appreciate because they're reading it and their jaws are hitting the floor and they like to see a response.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson, Eureka Police Chief. What did you guys find last night in the car on Harrison? That was the most bizarre news story, I think. There was a car, and some guy got shot, and he was sitting there bleeding, or knifed, and he was sitting there bleeding.
Oh, that was a couple days ago.
Oh, well, okay, fine. The weekend kind of blends together for me. Have you ever heard of something like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time that it's been a while.
Okay,
I wouldn't
thank
say it's
you.
An everyday occurrence.
Okay, good,
so
good.
He was apparently involved in some kind of altercation at another location, a motel in Eureka, where he was stabbed and tried to drive himself to the hospital.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't in the car as he was moving. That's what I thought it
made
was.
Made it within sight pretty much before apparently he ran over a mailbox and hit a couple other cars from, I'm assuming, blood loss. And luckily,
understandable.
He was very close to the emergency room at that time.
Yeah, okay. No, I had all kinds of different
thoughts
wasn't, swirling.
Again, the investigation's still underway, but I'll just say it probably was not a situation that you would likely find yourself in, for instance. There may have been some at-risk behavior involved.
Gotcha. I had a weird thing coming into work this morning. I came out of the house. We've got the stairs going up to the front door on each side. It's kind of, and on the side that I went down, there was somebody's book out of their car. It had the owner's manual in it, had their insurance, had their current vehicle license, and some other stuff. Okay. And on top of it was a letter from another person and a Mountain Dew, 95% consumed, just sitting there.
You actually measured the amount of fluid.
Well, I looked at it. It was about, maybe an inch at the bottom of it.
That's a pretty precise answer there.
Well, it wasn't all gone, and there was a little bit left.
Did you taste it to make sure it was actually Mountain Dew?
Yuck. I mean, I don't like Mountain Dew. No. when you find, or when folks find goofy things like that, I mean, we happen to know who the person was, so Angie was going to take care of returning it. Obviously, somebody broke into somebody's something and got. What do you suggest people do? Return it and not worry about it? Look at it for, something. Call you guys and get a PSO. I mean, what?
Yeah, when in doubt, they can call us so we can at least return their documents to them. And we may be able to obviously link it to maybe a burglary to a vehicle that happened overnight. Or if it's your neighbor and you know your neighbor well, you can return it directly to them and they can make a decision whether or not to call us.
So we didn't screw anything up by giving it back to them?
I don't think so.
Well, things are weird, right? Who knows what's right and what's wrong anymore? And those little green butane things, I wouldn't say can't. I get. It's like the liquid nitrogen big containers, but they're really small.
The little, like almost like the CO2 canisters.
The little green guys
for whippets.
For what?
Are you talking about the type of gas that people inhale to get high?
I don't know what's in there. Literally, I mean, there was one in the gutter yesterday. Somebody driving by, I'm sure, threw it out the window like they do other things. With a small little green container. I think we used to use it for airplane model making and stuff like that. So there must be a little bit of something in there. Is that what they're using for? I mean, you're looking at me like I'm a moron, and that's okay. I feel very comfortable in that position because I'm so ignorant on this stuff. Is that what it's used for?
I'm just laughing because we went from homicide to little metal containers. But, I have something similar for my airsoft pistols.
Okay. So it isn't necessarily bad stuff.
It depends on. There's several different.
Hobby store is what I associate it with.
BB pellet pistols. We'll use CO2-based ones, for instance. For the hobby store, for whipped cream dispensers and.
Okay.
People will huff just about anything to get high these days.
Okay.
So without knowing what it is, it's hard for me to.
Well, and being in the gutter, I would tend to think it probably has a certain higher likelihood of application. See, I can use those words too and say nothing.
Would you like us to have our crime scene guys come out, set up a perimeter, and get?
It could be a hazmat spill. I don't know. I still don't understand how some of those things qualify as hazardous materials, but okay, fine. Saw something in USA Today yesterday. 79 criminal shootings in Chicago this week, comma, the weather is getting warmer. Is there a correlation between bad guy activity and the weather conditions? Do you find it here also?
I would hesitate to be sure enough of the data to equate that to something like violent crime. What I can tell you is in the warmer months, the summer months, we typically get an influx of travelers or transients that come through. Some of them, on their way to work in the marijuana industry. Others are just the time of year they're moving around, either looking for a new home or passing through. So we do tend to see those numbers increase, and you will get associated crime disorder increases to a certain extent.
So it's not necessarily correlated. It happens this time of the year because other things are going on also.
Well, it gets pretty hot and muggy in Chicago, right? I'm sure people get irritable as it heats up all that water there off the Great Lakes.
In April?
I don't know.
It was like 75 degrees. Well, neither have I, thankfully.
Sounds like 75 shootings.
Not everybody is, yeah, exactly. Just kind of a nasty situation. KINS. We'll see where else we go on this one this morning, huh? KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Even a goofy one like this, they're still with us. What do you see out there, Steve, right now that's got you mildly happy?
Well, you can put me on the spot like that.
Well, this happy shouldn't take an awful lot of effort here.
No, you know, I think there's a lot of positive things happening in our community. It's easy to stay focused on, you know, the negative, like the homeless issues or syringe litter, which I think some progress is being made on that particular
Ooh,
one.
There's a phrase called syringe litter?
Yes, it's a highly technical term.
Yeah, I almost am able to follow that one.
You know, one, again, I think that I see a lot of community support for public safety that seems very genuine and persistent, even with the national narrative having taken the negative turn that it seems that it has over the last few years. It's difficult sometimes for our cops, myself included, to make it through the drive-through at the local coffee shop without someone, we have no idea who, buying the cup of coffee for you just as a small gesture of their support. And so, that's precious to us. The public trust is our lifeblood, and I certainly believe that it takes a whole community to police one. There's a saying from Sir Robert Peel I've always liked, that the police are the public and the public are the police. And so I think that acknowledgement in Eureka has really established a foundation. I see that as positive. I think our department's going, of course, I'm biased a little bit, but I think in a positive direction. We've been making some changes. I think we're starting to make some progress on recruiting and retention efforts. Those take a while, but we put some things in place. I'm excited about the Measure Z funded Parks Waterfront Ranger position that we're going to fill. And I think
now, is that cruising the trail?
What's that?
Cruising the trail?
That's a big part of it.
That's right.
You know, 6.5 miles and growing, but also our other parks in the city, you know, sometimes need attention. So that's going to enable that position to full-time without responding to other calls for service in the city, focus on those open spaces to keep them safe, keep them maintained. And it's not just going to be the one ranger. We're throwing other resources into, kind of a team to address the homeless issues and other safety issues in those areas.
So with 6.5 miles on the trail, plus the parks and the other parts of the city, bicycles, are you going to be able to use a motorcycle on the trail?
Bicycles for sure, foot patrol, and we also have, for instance, like a Gator side-by-side utility vehicle. We're going to be purchasing the second one of those that can get into those smaller spaces and safely navigate the trail and also help. It's not in their job description, but the cops that are down there working along the waterfront have removed actually several tons of garbage in just the last year. I respect them greatly for, because again, it's not what I expect them to have
job,
to do,
yeah.
But they down there, they see it, they're cleaning up maybe an abandoned illegal camp or some stuff someone's dumped, and working with the Parks Department to get that stuff out.
Yeah, the sidewalk dumps are kind of starting to pop up. Put free on a piece of garbage and you put it on your sidewalk, think somebody's going to take it? I mean, isn't that gutsy?
Okay. That's one word for it.
Yeah, well, I was going to use another body part, but I thought guts were probably about as good as I could get right now. Gutsy. I've not seen it as often as I've been seeing it. I know Arcata has it when the kids are leaving. You know, the students are leaving. You'll see it the second half of May, and they'll have, you know, sofas and chairs and all kinds of things. But the stuff I've been seeing is totally different. I mean, and I don't think it's in the neighborhood where you see it. I know Harrison and Myrtle, which is one of the major intersections, at least on this end of Eureka, for those who are unfamiliar. I'm seeing things lined up along Harrison there that you know didn't come from the house that's right there. Just, you know, people pull up and decide to leave their stuff there and drive off. How does that get cleaned up? Is that city garbage or Humboldt Recology having to come and get it? Or is that you guys? Is that the fire? Who takes care of that stuff?
Public Works has a role at times. They'll come and pick up large items. I believe Humboldt Waste Management or Recology has assisted with large items like appliances abandoned in alleys before. Don't quote me on that.
No, I'll call Jill and see if she's at work today. Right. Find out. Because it does seem like it's another burden, it's another cost that people are either looking to avoid or at least they're being shifted on to businesses to be able to take care of. Nobody got hurt.
It's not going to cost anybody. Vehicles. They're not parking them in front of their house. They're dropping them in town because they know eventually we'll take care of them. But God help the person we catch doing that, because there could be some stiff monetary repercussions for doing that.
Good. Does it go on their criminal record, too?
It could, potentially, if we charge them with the municipal code or one of the penal codes for dumping. But
that's not an automatic?
Well, you got to catch them at it.
Well, yeah, okay, but if it's their vehicle, if they're the registrant, presuming that that's still there on the car, doesn't that just kind of follow in the normal progress?
Well, there has to be someone that's following up with that half of things. That doesn't always happen in some cities or communities. You focus just on the process of abating the vehicle, which is a multi-step process with some timelines. That doesn't necessarily mean that the jurisdiction's following up with tracking down the last registered or legal owner and then either navigating through potential criminal sanctions, which, let's face it, those are misdemeanors, or following up with, you know, civil action to recoup losses.
Maybe that's another PSO you need, huh?
Well, we got second ones getting ready to start here in the next week or two.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Sierra.
Cool. So
we're excited
don't
about
drop
that.
In
news.
Eureka. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back to the Talk Shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, how prevalent are abandoned cars?
It's a chronic problem that is probably never going to go away.
Do you ever, I mean, you must, end up talking to some of the people who just decide they're going to park their car and walk away from it? What is the thought process behind that?
I don't even know if I can hazard a guess on. I might say something I regret on the air later.
Well, you did that in the first segment, so I mean, don't let that hold you down.
Yeah, I only needed six people.
Yeah, good. That's it? Yeah, that's half of the audience. I thought it would have been a little bit higher. It seems to me that there's this ongoing lack of a sense of responsibility by certain segments. Are you seeing that also manifest itself in other areas as well? Hey, it's not my fault. I'm not responsible. It's their fault. It's and trying to push away from it.
People that abandon a vehicle on the streets of a city are no different than the same people that haul a load of trash out to the nearest turnout and, you know, throw it off the bed of the truck down the side of the bank there for someone else to eventually deal with.
Not high on your good guy list, huh?
No.
So when you've got your – now, are they park officers, trail officers, sworn?
We created a new job classification for the Measure Z-funded one. It is a full-time sworn California police officer positions with all the police officer powers, but the title is Parks Waterfront Ranger. Ranger, and just to make it clear that, I mean, that's what they're doing full time. That's a permanent position with the Eureka Police Department. They won't have to go work patrol and general patrol later on unless they chose to change. But we're also...
So that's similar to what Arcata used to have with rangers in the community forest.
I guess.
It was a ranger, and it was a whole different... You know, they would not respond to a shooting.
Right. I mean, if there was a major incident in town, they are a peace officer. They would respond to assist. But all the day-to-day stuff, the stolen vehicles, the domestic violence incidences, the cold, you know, theft reports happening, you know, embezzlement reports, you know, down in the business district or whatever, they wouldn't be responsible for any of that. It's a proactive, you know, position, again, out along the waterfront, the trail system, and our parks. We're also appointing a rotational internal position. So we'll actually have two parks waterfront rangers, essentially. Drake Goodell will be going into that position July 1st. He put in for that. And so it's a two-year rotational assignment that will cycle officers through in addition to the permanent position.
Now, is there an Old Town cop also, or is this...
The Old Town Plot will be working with this group frequently because, you know, the Old Town position fronts a large section of the harbor.
Ooh. That's if you don't know. And there's a trail going through it, too.
There is.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.